very good afternoon to you all, and welcome to What's Cooking. Yes, here we are once again with another food-packed programme for you. So, what's cooking? In a word, pasta. A very versatile food. And in today's programme, I'd like to give you just a little taster of just how versatile pasta is. Pasta is a type of noodle and is a staple food of traditional Italian cuisine, with the first reference dating to 1154. Typically, pasta is made from an unleavened dough of a durum wheat flour mixed with water and formed into sheets or various shapes, then cooked and served in any number of dishes. It can be made with flour from other cereals or grains, and eggs may be used instead of water. Pastas may be divided into two broad categories: dried pasta, secca, and fresh pasta, fresca. Chicken eggs frequently dominate as the source of the liquid component in fresh pasta. Both dried and fresh pasta come in a number of shapes and varieties, with 310 specific forms known variably by over 1,300 names having been recently documented. Pasta sauces vary in taste, colour and texture. When choosing which type of pasta and sauce to serve together, there is a general rule that must be observed. Simple sauces like pesto are ideal for long and thin strands of pasta, while tomato sauce combines well with thicker pastas. Thicker and chunkier sauces have the better ability to cling on to the holes and cuts of short, tubular, twisted pastas. Sauce should be served equally with its pasta. It is important that the sauce does not overflow the pasta. The extra sauce is left on the plate after all of the pasta is eaten. For our first recipe today, we're going to hear how to make the perfect pasta with sardine.
The smell in here, it is fantastic. It's pasta today, but not the staple that some of us dole out at home. This is the real deal, cooked for you and me by Giorgio Locatelli. Now, the Michelin-starred chef grew up in the north of Italy, but fell in love with the cuisine and the produce of Sicily when he went there in the 90s. So, Giorgio, what has Sicily got to offer then in way of produce and cooking ideas?
The most fantastic thing about Sicily is that you have this land and was obviously very, very important for the last 200 years for all the traffics that come from the Far East, and it was right in the middle of the Mediterranean. So everybody sort of claimed a piece of it, and everybody sort of went there and played. So you have all these different layers of culture, starting from the Greek, the Roman, the Arabs, and then the Normans, and then so on, the French come in. And everybody kind of come to the place and brought something of their culture, applied to the fantastic ingredients that they found there. You must remember that, you know, here is where even the Greek, that they were such a great colonizer, they went out, they were so, had such a self-respect and diet, they lost in Sicily, they went there.
They went mad there,
they didn't want to move anymore. So this was a land of plenty.
Oh, great. What are you cooking for us this morning?
I'm going to cook you a really typical dish, which is called pasta con le sarde. It's really something that, you know, gets eaten in Palermo, you know, on a daily basis. And it's so representative of the power that the actually Arab head for such many years in that side of the island. And so you have ingredients like pine kernels, and you have sultanas in the pasta. So it's got that tiny little sweet and sour sort of flavour that we can tease on.
Now, you said it perfectly in Italian. In English, it is pasta with sardines, which just never sounds as nice. What sort of pasta do you need for this recipe?
Well, the best thing is to use a pasta that is like a very large spaghetto or a bucatino. So just a spaghetto, just a little little hole in the middle.
Well, won't linguine do something like that?
Linguine will do the largest one that you can get.
All right. Now, you've mentioned pine kernels. Wild fennel is also quite an important ingredient.
Yes, it's a very important ingredient. And, you know, it's called Finocchietto selvatico di montagna, which is something that we cannot find here in England. But you can substitute that with the plush of the fennel and using fennel in your as you cook in the pasta, you blanch the fennel in there, so you get the flavour as well.
Breadcrumbs feature too, and any sort of bread, what can you use?
Well, you know, it's like such an underrated thing, breadcrumbs, isn't it? And, you know, you in Sicily, you realise, you know, being such a cucina povera, being the cooking of the poor people, then it was such an important, it was the only way that they could add a little extra flavour or a little extra texture to a dish was by using the old bread, which was grated. Obviously, there is a massive culture about it. Even when you go into the bread, into the bakery, and you buy the bread, the breadcrumbs, you can choose what type of tostatura. Also, you have some which is a little bit more brown or something less brown, depend how toasted you want.
But you must never ever throw bread away, must you?
You must never throw bread away. The Sicilians are incredible about that. There's this saying that you'll spend the rest of your life picking up crumbs with your eyelashes if you waste a crumb of bread.
And what about when you toast the breadcrumbs? Now, this is another a great line. You toast the breadcrumbs so that they match the colour of?
Of the, you know, it's like to report it to something really live, which is the Capucin vest, the monks' sort of clothes.
The monk's tunic.
Tunic, yeah, that's the words I was looking for.
All right, so find a monk, assess the colour of his tunic, and that is how you should be toasting your breadcrumbs.
That's right.
Right, now, all good Italian chefs had an Italian grandmother, obviously, who was hugely influential, and you're no exception, are you?
Yeah, my nonna, Vincenzina. She cooked for us. It's like, and you know, when the restaurant was closed, she would cook for 20 people. And what was amazing, I never seen a recipe, I never seen a book in her kitchen.
It was all in her head.
Yeah, it was all there. And it was all on the ingredients, I guess, more than everything else. So,
what have you done so far then? We're making a dish. I know you started a little bit before 10 o'clock. So, what have you done so far?
So far, I just started to make the sauce. I got my fresh sardine, which I took them apart, so I take the head off and open them up. Then I take the actually fillet down, and I use the fillet only, taking all whatever is left over of.
You don't want any bones in there at all.
No,
do
we
you?
Don't want less bones as possible, and you know, also take the care to give him a little chop before you put them in. So if there is any bone, at least you cut them down, okay?
You must go to a fishmonger, must you? Or will the supermarket do? Because they do sell sardines.
That's right. I think, you know, it'll be really nice if you go to the fishmonger. Those guys need a hand. They need to be kept in business, you know. So please do go to your fishmonger, because it's a very important statement, that one.
Okay, so you're not such a purist that you go back to Sicily for your sardines. You'll deal with English sardine.
I think that, you know, it is a cuisine that has traveled all over the world, so it is important that it also has this adaptability to it. You know, if you can pick up a fresh ingredient, Italian cookery is alive all over the world, because wherever it went, it managed to pick up some of the ingredients, and they are locally. In fact, you know, if you think about Italian cuisine in America, it's very different than Italian cuisine in Europe, isn't it? Because it brought in all these different things to that.
Well, what are you going to do with the sardine now?
So the sardine are chopped. I'm going to cook a little bit of the onions, very, very gently, with a little bit of olive oil. And then I start to add all my other ingredients, which are the pine kernel, the sultanas. And I put in this very important thing, which is called strato. Strato is like a tomato puree, double concentrate of tomato puree. But the only difference is that instead of being made normally by just cooking the actually tomato puree down, the puree gets made in this. I brought you a picture to look at.
Fantastic, thank you. So if we can't get hold of that though, can we not
just
use double quantities of tomato puree?
This is the way it's made, can you see?
Well, it's literally laid strips of tomato appear to be laid out in the street.
That's exactly what's happened. The wood is laid down in on the sand, and then you see the kids keep on just playing with their hands and putting tomato, and then whatever is left over dry, that's what strato
thing
is.
You can't do that in Edinburgh. Or indeed in
Newcastle. Maybe in a sunny day, yeah.
Or anywhere in this country on a sunny day. It really, I can't tell you, I wish you were here to enjoy the smells, because they are fantastic. He's cooking up a storm in here. The oven, Is our oven hot enough for you and your sauce?
The water is boiling, the pasta is in, the sauce is ready, so we're there.
Now, does this, is it something that your typical Sicilian would cook for a weekday supper or something? I mean, is this something that would be a pretty run-of-the-mill dish?
That's the run-of-the-mill dish, yeah. Because you will pass by in the market. I mean, as you can see, all the other ingredients, they come from a cupboard store, so the wine, the olive oil, the anchovies, the saffron, everything is from a cupboard. And the only fresh ingredients that we have in this case is just the sardine, which will be possibly the cheapest thing that you can pick up as you're walking through the market or something like that.
I really do need to taste it now, I think, because I've worked up quite an appetite. Just a couple of questions. Most of us, certainly with young children, do cook pasta with amazing frequency. We're probably doing it wrong. How can we make it better?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, I think it's quite important to buy quite good quality pasta. If you buy dry pasta, always keep in mind, follow the instructions, so the minutes of cooking, that's very important, so follow it to the minute.
Maybe I thought you should timer. Undercook it, shouldn't you?
No, the package usually just give you the right amount of time. It's just to make sure that, you know, what people makes a lot of mistakes is then, you know, they don't have enough water sometimes for the amount of pasta. So consider always, you know, the one portion of pasta is 100 grams, you need at least 1 liter of water. So if you cook 2 or 3 portions, you have to have 3 or 4 liters, so you don't never lose that rolling boiling.
Can you serve me? She said with a note of desperation creeping into her voice.
It's coming out now.
Oh, look at that. Even I can't eat 400 grams of pasta at this time of the morning. I did, by the way, Giorgio, see you sort of forcing the pasta into the pan of boiling water.
Yeah.
You were quite rough with it. Is that allowed? Can you even break it up to make it cook?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, I think then, you know, pastas have to be all the same, because then, you know, you'll have a very different sort of consistency when you have... There you are.
And Giorgio is just tossing in a not particularly delicate way the sauce and the pasta. That is a noise I wouldn't dare to try to describe, but I'm sure you can pick it up wherever you are in the
kitchen. Okay. I've got that beautiful breadcrumbs.
Yes, just a few breadcrumbs.
One of the tips that I want to give all the time is always like the water, the cooking water is always a very important ingredient. So always allow
you to put it back over the dish.
Just a little bit. Yeah, yes, all the goodness of the water in there and of the pasta and then they're left in there and it's seasoned to perfection because you just done it with that. You cooked your pasta in it. And it also allowed you to keep that a little bit more alive. That's a beautiful plate of pasta.
That certainly is. Giorgio, thank you very much. Lovely to meet you and indeed to enjoy the pasta. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm now going to show you how to make a quick pasta bolognese. When we think of bolognese, we also tend to think of spaghetti. But you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't experiment with pasta shapes and use any pasta shape of your choice for this dish. I'm going to be using pasta twists today. You can also make the sauce from scratch, as you heard in the previous recipe. But I'm going to be using one of the many brands of cooking sauces that can be found at your local supermarket or grocery store. I'm going to be also using plenty of fresh vegetables to add to the sauce and also ground mince. Now, this is just my choice. This recipe is not set in stone. I'm just using vegetables, etc., that I think go well together. But you can use any ground meat of your choice or just vegetables. I'm going to start by heating a little olive oil in a large sauté pan. You can use any large pan of your choice for the top of the stove. And I'm just going to heat this for a couple of minutes. You don't want to burn the oil, but we do want to make sure that it's hot. As you'll remember from the last recipe, or even from the information about pasta that I gave you earlier, there are lots of pasta shapes and you need to choose your sauce carefully. So for pasta twists, you need a thick chunky sauce which will cling to the pasta, and that's why I'm using plenty of fresh vegetables. And, of course, as I said, the ground beef or minced beef. Now, this is a nice, lean minced beef. A lot of ground meat, I find, tends to be quite fatty. So choose carefully. Okay, the olive oil is now heating up nicely. And I'm going to put in the minced beef. Here we go. Nice sizzling sound. Just break up the meat and put into the pan. Don't want the heat too high. Just gently cook. Give it a bit of a stir round to make sure that the meat is not sticking together. Ground meat, I find, tends to stick together and clump together. So give it a good stir around, move it round the pan, give it a good prod so that it separates quite nicely. And we're going to just leave that cooking for a little bit longer. And already prepared in a bowl, I have onions, some freshly crushed garlic, bell pepper. This is a red one that I'm using, but the colour doesn't really matter. Courgette. Now, courgettes. There are those of you who will know courgettes by a different name. And we're going to have a little bit of fun on What's Cooking. I want to know from you, what is that name? What is a courgette? What do you know it by? There are a couple of names. One of them is more popular than the other. But in the UK, we call this vegetable a courgette. What other name is it known by? This is just a gentle challenge for you. I'm not going to tell you. Answers by the next show, please. And I'll tell you how you can get those to me later in the programme. Mince, still cooking nicely. Another little stir, just to make sure that it's not sticking together. Which it isn't. Now time, I think, to pour in the veg. And all I'm going to do is just pour in the veg from the bowl. Incidentally, I've also got some fresh mushrooms in my veg mix. So in goes the veg. Nice chunky pieces. Not too thin, not too thick. In with the mince. And we've got quite a full pan now. So again, we're going to give this a bit of a stir around just to mix in the veg with the mince. And just keep this cooking gently for a couple of minutes. Keep stirring it round. I think that helps to soften things up and just blend in all the flavours. Oh, smelling delicious already. We haven't even got the sauce in yet. There we go. That's pretty nicely mixed in. Now we're going to add the sauce. And as I said before, this is a brand, or one of the many brands of cooking sauce. And that smells delicious. It's very tomatoey, and this one also has added extra kick as it has peppercorns in it. And this is one of our favourite sauces. So all I'm going to do is tip the sauce into the pan. There we go. Turn the heat down a little. And to clean out the jar, just put in a little water, like so. Put on the lid, give it a quick shake. And pour the water into the sauce mix. Then we're going to give it a good stir round. Mix everything in. And we do have a very full pan now. Turn the heat up slightly for the time being. You want the sauce to start bubbling, as it is, as you can hear now. And we're going to keep that going for a short while, a minute or two, just to get it going and to get everything blending in, mixed in, whilst stirring all the time for the moment, just to make sure that all is blending together. And after a couple of minutes, turn down the sauce and let it gently simmer. This is going to cook for 15 to 20 minutes and you need to stir occasionally. So, sauce gently simmering. And we're going to prepare the pasta. Now, as was said in the previous recipe, you need plenty of water for pasta. People tend to under water. Certainly make sure that your pasta is covered, and a little more than that, possibly too. Just swirl your pasta round in the water so that it doesn't stick together. Pasta is very starchy and can tend to stick together. There. Plenty of water, so make sure your pasta is well covered. And we're going to bring this to a rolling boil. You don't want to fiercely boil it. We're going to bring it to a rolling boil. And important, as the previous recipe said, to follow your packet instructions as to how long you should cook the pasta. And what I tend to do now and again is to just give it a stir, quick move around the pan so that it's not sticking together. To drain the pasta, I use a large square colander. There are pasta pans available with lids that you don't need to remove, and you can just drain the pasta through the lid, which are very safe, but I'm quite happy using the big square colander that I have. I then pour the pasta back into the saucepan with a little of the water that the pasta was boiled in. Remember in the last recipe, Giorgio Locatelli said that the water contains a lot of the goodness. So pour the pasta back into the saucepan with a little bit of the water. Give it a bit of a stir round in the saucepan. That will ensure that it doesn't stick together, it doesn't dry out, because pasta tends to dry out very quickly once it's cooked. It also goes cold very quickly once it's cooked. And although pasta can be eaten cold, with bolognese you don't want cold pasta. So we're going to be eating this with garlic bread, some fresh grated Parmesan cheese, and a nice glass of wine. Lovely.
Next up, we have a recipe for dessert lasagna. And this recipe gives measurements in cups, which I know will be music to the ears of some of you. But for those of us in the UK who may not be so familiar with measuring in cups, the standard American measuring cups sold over here in the UK are 1 4-ounce cup and smaller, while many American recipes use an 8-ounce, 2-cup as a basis for measuring recipe ingredients. Do bear in mind that the same cup measures differently for liquid and dry, depending on the weight of the ingredient. For this recipe, you will need 12 pieces lasagna, 4 cups ricotta cheese, 1 cup sugar divided, 8 kiwis peeled, 4 cups strawberries washed and trimmed with 8 berries reserved for garnishing. 4 cups blackberries washed. 1/2 cup toasted sliced almonds. Mint sprigs to garnish. And
this is what you do.
Cook the pasta according to package directions. Rinse, drain and set aside. In a medium bowl, stir together the ricotta cheese and 1/2 cup of sugar. Set aside. In a food processor, puree 4 kiwis with 2 tablespoons of sugar. Transfer the puree into a bowl and set aside. Rinse the processor bowl. In the processor, puree 1/2 the strawberries with 2 tablespoons sugar. Strain the puree into a bowl and set aside. Rinse the processor bowl. In the processor, puree 1/2 the blackberries with 2 tablespoons of sugar. Strain the puree and set aside. Slice the kiwis into 1/4 inch thick rounds. Slice the strawberries into 1/8 inch thick pieces. Slice the blackberries in 1/2. Reserve 1/4 cup of each of the puree to use as garnish when serving. To assemble the lasagna, first cover the bottom of a 9-inch by 13-inch glass baking pan with 3 pieces of pasta. Spoon 1/3 of the ricotta on top and spread it evenly. Pour the kiwi puree over the cheese and arrange the kiwi slices on the puree. Lay on 3 more pieces of pasta and cover with 1/2 the remaining cheese. Pour the strawberry puree over the cheese and sprinkle with sliced strawberries. Lay on 3 more pieces of pasta and cover with the remaining cheese. Pour the blackberry puree over the cheese and sprinkle with blackberries. Top with a final layer of pasta. Cover tightly with plastic and refrigerate overnight. Some more suggestions for dessert lasagna. You might make it with summer berries or with chocolate shavings and alternating layers of vanilla and chocolate, ricotta with chocolate and butterscotch chips, and a side of light branded caramel sauce with autumn fruits, cooked apples, cherries, pears, etc. Lots of suggestions there. If you'd like to contact the programme with questions, comments, ideas for future shows, you can do so by emailing cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's cookin@theglobalvoice.info. And incidentally, that's also the address to use for our little teaser, the one I set you earlier. To download or to listen to this show again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery. You can also visit incx.org/whatscooking, where you can subscribe to our podcast. Well, that's all we have time for today. So until I'm with you again next month, or more to the point, next year, this is Sue Hadfield saying take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, happy cooking.